Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's ready for the Word of God today? Today, it is a very significant moment for PK and I to be leading through this time. Like, we feel so ridiculously privileged that God would allow us to be involved in the building of this building. And, you know, it's been very reflective for us. We've been leading this church for nearly 18 years. And I know what you're all thinking. She doesn't look old enough. You're very kind to say so, but we've been leading this church for nearly 18 years, and God has allowed us to kind of be a part of this moment as we've been reflecting. We've been thinking of what this building might mean, what families and marriages might be blessed here, raised here, what individuals might be released from here, what nations could be reached because people were raised up and discipled in this house, and they go out. I mean, in God, the possibility are endless. Do you agree? The possibilities are absolutely endless. And this is my very first message on this platform. Don't clap yet. You haven't heard it. Could be rubbish. No, it's not. It's Bible. So, you know, don't blame me. Blame the Bible. But, it is. It's such a privilege to share a message from this platform. And I was thinking, deeply and praying, God, what is it that you want me to share today? What would be appropriate and fitting for the moment? It was almost like there was this prayer in my heart, God, what's the first thing you want declared? You know, what are the foundational things that you want declared from this platform? Think about it. How many messages are going to come off this platform in the next 30, 40, 50 years?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Selah. it's just... And I was talking to the Lord, what's some of the foundational things that you want declared from this platform? It is just wood. And construction materials. I'm no builder. I wouldn't have a clue what it is, really. But I know that it's undeniable that it's a place of influence. You know, it's undeniable that what is spoken from this platform has the capacity to shape and to change and to direct and to influence. And in that sense, the platform is powerful. In that sense, it's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be stewarded casually. And you have to understand that it's in the heart of the leadership team to dedicate this platform to none other than the centrality of Jesus Christ. You understand that? The centrality of Jesus Christ, because this is not any old platform. This is not a theater for entertainment. You know, we're not here to entertain. This is not a soapbox for opinion or anything like that. This is His church. Amen. We are His people. We don't exist for any other purpose but the purposes of Jesus Christ. Our job is lost, found. Our job is disciples made and nations reached. This is our job. And so we protect it. We protect it. There's no political agenda, no social agenda, no human agenda, just the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace. That's what we want to protect. That's what we want to look after. And with that in mind today, I want to flip this whole conversation around, and I want to speak to you today on the thought, the platform of your life. The platform of your life, because churches aren't the only things with platforms, and preachers are not the only ones with a message. Do I have an amen? Preachers are not the only ones with a message. And as much as I have been granted this platform, do you realize that you have a platform too? And as much as I have an opportunity to preach this message, do you know also that every day your life is preaching some sort of a message? Do you know every day the platform of your life can be used to deliver a message? Your platform might not ever be a stage in a church. You might never preach a message the way I am preaching a message to you right now. In fact, for some of you, that might be your worst nightmare. Give me a wave if public speaking terrifies you. Some of you are too scared to wave. Don't look over here. Some of you, but you know, regardless of whether you're a public speaker or not, God has still given you a platform. He's given you a place of influence, a circle, a sphere of influence. Your platform might be the lunch table at work. Your platform might be your family gathering, your social gathering, your old school and uni mates. Everyone has some old school and uni mates that they get in connection with from time to time. Your platform is your social media account. Hello? That's your platform. These places are your platform. They're not my platform. They're not PK's platform. He doesn't stand there. You stand there. You understand? And I promise you, whether you've ever thought about it or not, there is a message coming from the platform of your life. Every day, your life is messaging something. The big question is, what's the message? What is the message coming off the platform of your life? And as much as there's a determination in our hearts to make this platform dedicated solely to the purposes of Christ, I wonder if you've ever thought about what the platform of your life is actually dedicated to and what you're intentional about. When people get around your life, what's the message that they hear? What kind of message do they receive? Is it pointing them to Jesus or is it pointing them somewhere else? Are they getting a consistent message or a mixed message? And these sorts of things, they're challenging thoughts. But I want us today to embrace the challenge together, because for the Christian, we understand that when it all boils down, when it all comes down, there's only really one message that matters. There's one message like that ultimately matters. One message that eternally matters, and that is the message of the gospel. Yes. The message that really matters is that there's good news found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the message that really, really matters. In the last 12 months, I've actually attended four funerals, and every single one of them, the person died too young, 20, 30, 40 years too young. And I promise you, when you go to funerals like that, man, it hits really hard. Yeah. It hits so hard, this fact that the message of the gospel matters. Like whether or not a person knows and loves Jesus in those moments, I tell you, it deeply, deeply matters. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 16, he was talking to his disciples. And because Jesus is talking to disciples, when he says things to disciples, you and I ought to listen up. And he said this in his great commission, his parting words. He says, go into all the world and preach popular opinion. No. Go into all the world and preach the latest social justice cause. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This was Jesus' great commission. This still is Jesus' great commission to his church. It hasn't changed. Jesus had an interaction with his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. Many of you would be familiar with the passage where Jesus asked his disciples, well, who do men say that I am? And they all pitched their various answers to Jesus. They said, well, some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and some say you're just a garden variety type of prophet. And it was Simon Peter that came along, and he gave the gold star answer, the winning answer. And in Matthew 16, this is the declaration that Simon Peter made. He said, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but only by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Amen. This is the first mention of the church. This is a pivotal moment and a foundational statement. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, my church, my people, my called out ones are going to be established on one thing and one thing alone. And that is the solid rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is what my church is built on. That is what my people are built on. That I am the Messiah. That Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind. Peter said, there's no other name given in heaven or on earth by which man must be saved. Amen. This is the gospel. Jesus and the finished work of the cross. This is the gospel. It's the essence of who we are. It is why His church exists. And it's what we must continually proclaim. Amen. The apostles of old, they lived their lives to tell the message. Eugene Peterson, what did he call his paraphrase of the Bible? He called it the message. You know, this message, the essence of it. The apostles of old, they didn't tweak it. They didn't change it. They didn't modify it to suit different user groups. Paul said things like, no other foundation can be laid other than the foundation that has already been laid, that is Jesus Christ. He even went so far as to say, if anyone preaches a gospel to you other than the gospel I've already preached to you, let them be cursed. Paul felt that strongly about it. The apostles, they endured countless hardships for the sake of this gospel. They bled and ultimately many of them died. The platform of their lives was dedicated to one message alone, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian in this place today, and I know many of you are, their message is the very same message that has echoed through the corridors of time, has landed in our hearts to save us. Their message is the same message that has saved you and me. If you're a Christian here today, you understand Jesus has loved you with an everlasting love, and you have received forgiveness of your sins, and you know that He has cancelled all of your debt and nailed all of your shame and guilt to His cross, a debt you couldn't pay, an eternity that you could not earn, and you know you definitely did not deserve it, but Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all on His cross. You know this message. You've received of this message if you're a Christian here today. And so you understand that it is as powerful and as transformative right now today as it was back in the time of the apostles. And the thing is, this same message that has transformed our very lives has also been entrusted to us. You know, we don't want to just be people who receive the message. We also want to be people who convey the message, who tell the message, who give the message, who live the message. Paul said to the Christians at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said this, he said, all this is from God. All this salvation business, it's from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus. And He gave us what? The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us, say to us. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Such a powerful, challenging passage of Scripture that speaks to the fact that there is a responsibility that is ours to pick up this God-given ministry of seeing others reconciled to Father God through Jesus Christ. There's a responsibility on us as believers to allow Jesus to be seen, to be heard, to be demonstrated, to be displayed from the platform of our lives. And if we're going to do that, my first point to you today is the first thing we need to do is get the message. Turn to your neighbor and say, get the message. Get the message. You might say to me, what do you mean? Get the message. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I already got the message. And I understand that sentiment, but my question is, how deep does the message go within you? You know, is it just like head knowledge, or has really transformed your heart? Has the gospel message just informed you? Or can you say of your life that the gospel message has truly transformed me? It's transformed me. You know, my son Jensen, when he was 6 years old, he asked me a question. It was a question that I really was not expecting in that moment. Just a regular school night, sitting around the dinner table as a family. And out of absolutely nowhere, Jensen pipes up and he goes, how does the baby get into the tummy? I nearly choked on my lamb chop. I was not prepared for that moment. And frankly, your senior pastor was no help at all. He's not in the room, I can say it. Just sitting there silently. Thanks a lot, Kenny. And I wasn't really prepared to fully broach the subject matter over the dinner table, you know what I'm saying? So I just simply said, quite an evasive response, you can bank this one, parents of toddlers. Yeah, I just said, well, son, it's all part of God's incredible design. And he goes, ah, God's incredible design. Now I understand. And that was it. He was completely satisfied. Like, conversation moved on. I was like, high five, Kenny. We dodged it for a minute. And it was so funny how he declared with such, you know, such an emphatic declaration that I understand. Now I know with complete confidence. But those of us who really know that he had a little bit more to learn. And we laugh at and we giggle at the immaturity. But I want to suggest that sometimes we show that very same immaturity when it comes to spiritual things. That we declare our understanding, but we still actually have a little bit to learn. Someone might say to you, Jesus came that you can have life and life to the full. And you go, yeah, I know that. It's on my toilet door. You know, like someone comes to you and says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. And you're like, yeah, I know it. We can all be a bit like this. But is it possible that we've still got some more to learn? Is it possible that we don't know quite as much as we think we know? And perhaps there's a call for us to go deeper still in our understanding of the things of the Spirit and what God's calling us and inviting us into. This idea of growing in the knowledge of the Lord is biblical. We see it throughout Scripture. Paul prays for the Christians in Ephesus and he says, I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know me more, to know him better. The message is supposed to go deeper. We're supposed to understand it at different levels, deeper and deeper still as we mature in Christ. I don't know about you, but I understand the message of the gospel now so much more, like on a completely different level to when I first believed. Anybody with me? It's gone deeper. It's those moments of encounter, is it not? It's those moments of revelation. For me, it was moments where I understood sonship. I understood I was a daughter. It's moments of where I finally understood relationship and I finally understood grace and this idea of Jesus' righteousness imputed to me, not because of what I'd done, but because of what he had done. And it was like the lights went on. It wasn't just an intellectual concept anymore. It was a living reality. And as deep as I've gone, I want to go deeper still to get the message into every part of me, because this one thing I know, I can't give you what I don't have. Was Peter and John at the gate, beautiful, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Such as I have. We got to get it authentically in us so that it can come authentically out of us. Our culture is, we're about authenticity, not just being like real with our person, but authentic faith. Authentic faith in a real and living Jesus Christ. The platform of our life can never speak of a Christ we haven't experienced. The platform of our life will never tell of a grace that we don't know, that we haven't encountered. So the first port of call is we have to get the message. We have to get it deep inside of us. And if you're struggling, if you're struggling with your revelation, and you know it, if you're struggling with your conviction, don't be condemned. Don't be condemned. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit. Why don't you pray the prayer of Ephesians 1? God, would you grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I can know you more, so that I can know you deeper, so that I can know you better. Not only do we have to get the message, but we also have to fight for the message. Turn to your neighbor and say, fight for the message. Trust me, if people are going to hear about Jesus from the platform of our lives, we are going to have to fight for the message. Who knows, the gospel message will not preach itself. I wish it did, but it doesn't. It will not preach itself. We're going to have to fight for the message. Ken preached a message last week on this platform called An Amazing Tomorrow. Who was here for that? 2,500 people came to church last week. Most of you were probably here for that. That was amazing. So much of the message that Ken preached, I believe, was actually a prophetic. It was a declaration, something that God wants to do now and in this time. And one of the points that Ken made was this, that the fight has only just begun. That it's actually not time to settle, that we haven't arrived, but it's time to fight. And he mentioned four fights. He termed them four giants that we're going to have to fight to enter into all that God has for us. He mentioned the fight against the giant of apathy, the giant of division, the giant of destruction, and the giant of pride. And I believe that all of these four fights or four giants are going to play out on the platform of our lives. I tell you, these giants are coming after the message of the gospel in your life. These giants, one way or another, they want to steal the message of Christ out of your life and out of your heart. And unless you fight for it, your life might message something, it just might not message Jesus. You know what I'm saying? The giant of apathy wants to shut you up and sit you down. I promise you, that's what he wants to do. The giant of apathy cannot be bothered. The giant of apathy will whisper things in your ear and your heart that tells you that there's plenty of time. You just take a casual approach. It doesn't really matter, etc., etc. That's the giant of apathy. I had a plumber that I've known for years that I was friendly with, an older guy. Over many, many years, he did lots and bits and pieces of work around our home and even on some of the church buildings. And I really liked him. A great Aussie bloke. He was always hardworking, was really, really honest. And sometimes for little jobs, I'd call him, I'd ask him to give me a quote, and he'd just look at it and he'd go, oh, just buy me a slab of beer. He was that kind of guy. I really liked him. And to the best of my knowledge, he didn't actually have a relationship with Jesus. And I heard recently, just maybe 6 weeks ago, that he's actually passed away. Suddenly, like a big medical incident that he just didn't survive. And the thing was, I had actually just talked to him on the phone maybe about 2 weeks before he passed. It got me thinking of all the times that he was in my home and all the times that we were just chatting about this and that. And all the times that I would make him coffee and give him biscuits and all these sorts of things. I just don't know how much Jesus he got off the platform of my life, if I'm honest. And if I had have had those times again, those times with my plumber friend, if I had known that this time was going to be the very last time, if I could go back, I would use the platform differently. You know what I'm saying? I would use it differently. I got to say, we got to take down the giant of apathy. We got to take it down. People's eternities are at stake, and we have to grab the opportunity while we have the opportunity, because they come, but they also go. And you might not get it again. See, the coffee and biscuits are nice, but only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. The giants of division and distraction, I promise you, they are also coming after the message. They also want to take it from the platform of your life. They're happy. The giant of division and the giant of distraction, they're happy for you to have any other message being spoken from the platform of your life as long as it's not the message of Jesus. Anything at all. Go for it. Just not Jesus. Oh, have you been to Broome this time of year? It's amazing. Bunnings is having a sale on indoor plants. Woo! How exciting! They're plant lovers amongst us. Did you hear what McGowan did? Did you see what Morrison did? How about those protests? It's getting quiet now. Did you read that article? It's very scientific, you know. The podcast, super, it's insightful. On and on and on and on and on we could go, and on and on and on and on. We do go anything and everything, just not Jesus Christ. You know, that's what the giant of distraction and division are wanting to do in our life. And the Apostle Paul knew all about it. The giants of distraction and division are not new to our day. They existed in his day. He knew all about it. This is how they sounded back in his day. Do you know Timothy? He's not circumcised. What are you doing eating that? That's been sacrificed to an idol. That is demonic. You know, like, I'm an Apollos guy. Are you a Paul guy? You know, that's the sort of language of distraction and division that was existent and evident in Paul's day. He was no stranger, but he shows us how to fight for the message. He was fierce about protecting the message of the gospel. He was focused on protecting the gospel. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 2, he says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence. I didn't come with human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. I resolved to know nothing while I was among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul refused to be divided. He refused to be distracted. He resolved to know nothing except the gospel, except Christ and Him crucified. It wasn't a statement of ignorance, it was a statement of intentionality. Paul knew a lot. Paul was an educated man, but he carried such a deep conviction that all of my knowledge pales into insignificance compared with the supremacy of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to hear my heart on this. It's not that other messages aren't important. They are. It's not that your opinion doesn't matter. It does. I know that there's very real and life-impacting scenarios swirling around our globe at the moment. And I have no intention of being trite about those matters. But I just want to say to the church, I want to say to disciples, that if we are not careful, division and distraction will completely eradicate the gospel message off the platform of our lives. And we need to know what it is to protect it and to guard it and to make sure we continue to proclaim it. Amen? Amen. The giant of pride is another giant that's coming after the message. I promise you it is. See, the message of the cross, The message of Christ's cross has always been offensive to human wisdom. The scripture actually says as much. It says it's a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Do you know that everything about the gospel is going to challenge human wisdom and it's going to challenge human control because it requires you to put your trust in something other than yourself, hello, and put your faith in God whom you cannot see. It challenges our wisdom. It challenges our control. But the Bible says this, that God is pleased. Say pleased. God is pleased through the foolishness of what has been preached to save those who believe. That's what the scripture says. That's Bible. Human wisdom is so limited in the eyes of God's wisdom. But the scripture says Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He is wisdom of a completely different order, an altogether superior wisdom. And Paul says this in Romans chapter 1. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to every single person who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Why would he say, I am not ashamed? Because people were trying to shame him. Why would he say that? Because people wanted to bring shame. In their human wisdom, they said that message is foolish. And in order to maintain that message of Jesus from the platform of his life, he had to endure the ridicule. He had to endure the hostility. And he answered them by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You might try and shame me, but I'm going to continue to proclaim him because there is an inherent power. There's an inherent power in the gospel message to save those who believe. Nothing else can save. Only Jesus can save. Your higher learning can't save. Your information can't save. Your opinion can't save. Your social media can't save. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus is the message that saves. If it's apathy, if it's fear, if it's division, if it's distraction, if it's pride, we're going to have to fight for the message of Jesus to be spoken off the platform of our life. And finally, when we get the message, when we fight for the message, we're also going to have to share the message. Turn to your neighbor and say, share the message. Share the message. The platform of your life is so powerful. I need you to realize whoever you are, whether you feel like you've got a significant circle or not, the platform of your life is so powerful. If we would open our spiritual eyes, if we would pray and ask and seek, we would see that God has actually given us so many opportunities. Oh, that we would be bold enough. Oh, that we would be disciples. Oh, that we would have courage enough to share the message. I'm not talking about Bible bashing people. Please don't Bible bash anyone. I'm talking about speaking of a real and living relationship with Jesus Christ. Tell someone about what he has done for you. Open up your mouth and share your testimony. Maybe it's just actions. Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's in intercession. Maybe it's in posting something on your social media, whatever it might be. But would we use the platform of our lives to speak Jesus, to speak his life? May all the other messages of our life take second place. May Jesus be the first and the most important message coming off the platform of our lives. Jesus says in Matthew 5, so many of you would know it, he says, you're the salt of the earth. You, disciple, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. We're not just light receivers. We haven't just received light into our darkness, but we're called to be light givers. We're called to be the light unto the world. Maybe you can remember the first time that the light of Jesus shone into your darkness. Give me a wave if you remember. When Jesus' light shone into your darkness, for me, my darkness looked like crippling fear. Looked like anxiety, looked like eating disorder, looked like insecurity on insecurity. And over time, the light of Jesus exposed that darkness in me and delivered me and set me free. And what no power of positive thinking could do, and no therapist, and no counselor, and no willpower, Jesus did in me. And I will never be a broken, lost girl ever again because of what Jesus has done in my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to proclaim it. And we need to be concerned as a body of believers about those who are still living in darkness. There is so much darkness. There is so much brokenness. And we have the light of life in the message and the person of Jesus Christ, that God is pleased to save those who believe. The question is, will we share Him from the platform of our lives? Just think about the sun setting on December 2021. Cast your mind forward a few weeks. And as you reflect on all the Christmas parties that you attend, or the gatherings you host, or the posts that you post, what message is going to be preached from the platform of your life this Christmas? What are your colleagues going to hear? What's your family going to see? What's going to be the message? Food and alcohol, will that be the message? Might be. It's no condemnation, but I want us to think. I want us to think, you know, hurry, stress, conflict, anxiety, is that going to be the message? Shopping and material things, are they going to be the messages coming off the platform of our lives? I've been guilty of those things being the message of my life in Christmases past. But I want us to consider, maybe, just maybe, someone could hear and see Jesus from the platform of our lives this Christmas. Maybe somebody could move a little bit closer to Him because they got to hang out with us. How amazing would that be? How life-transforming that would be. Your platform matters. And the message is so powerful. We need to be concerned about the lost, and we need to be in love with the gospel, and we need to have the words on our lips. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus loves, and He heals, and He saves. So maybe this December, the prayer of your life, the whisper of your heart to heaven, God, would You use the platform of my life that somebody, that someone can see and hear Jesus this Christmas. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.